Good morning, good people of grace. Here we are, my second Sunday with you, and I am delivering my sermon from my living room. I did tell you we were going to do a new thing. So here we are. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. Amen." Homer Simpson once famously said, and yes, you heard me correctly, I am about to open this sermon by quoting a line from The Simpsons, but stick with me because it works. Homer Simpson once said during an argument with his wife, "Just because I don't care doesn't mean I'm not listening." It's funny in that real life, we've all been there but hate to admit it kind of way. But communicating, listening, and understanding the other is really crucial spiritual work. And we all know it, and we all struggle with it. So what allows us to listen and to understand? And by that, I mean truly listen. Not just to the words, but to the essence of what someone is trying to say to us. Now, I will say that for me, it is quite easy to listen to someone when they are saying all sorts of lovely things about me or my family or my church. I could listen to that all day. But what about when someone has something to say to us that is, well, less than lovely, less than comforting? When what they have to say to us is a critique or hard to hear feedback about our behavior or their experience of us? What allows us to really listen to them in that moment? Harriet Lerner, author and psychologist, says this about listening. We naturally become defensive when we are criticized. We listen to refute or correct the inaccuracies, distortions, and exaggerations that are inevitably there. The challenge is to listen only to understand. Jesus says to them, "Listen and understand." Our gospel story today is all about listening in order to understand. And in our world today, I cannot imagine a more powerful lesson for us all. The world around us is full of so many voices. Some are loud and some are quiet. Some are saying things we agree with, and others are downright offensive to us. But it is true in our world today, we do not have to look for long to hear all kinds of voices. And that doesn't mean that we care or that we even know how to listen to them. Hearing is very different from listening. Hearing is a cognitive process. Listening is a heart process. Hearing someone only takes two good ears. Listening takes a strong heart. When we hear someone, we might gain information. When we listen, we gain understanding. Jesus says, "Listen and understand." In our gospel today, Jesus begins speaking to a crowd. Imagine who might have been in this crowd that gathers around Jesus: the poor, the fishermen, the sick, the forgotten, but also the tax collectors, those capitulating with the Roman Empire, women and men and children. Above all, the crowds are potential disciples. Always Jesus speaks to the crowds and teaches them because he is calling people into a new way to follow him. The disciples among the crowds are hearing what Jesus has to say and seemingly scold him for the way he has spoken to the crowd. They say to him, "Do you not know that you have offended the Pharisee?" And Jesus says, "Let them alone. They are the blind leading the blind." When we are blind spiritually, we are not seeking to understand, but only to be right. That is the blindness Jesus is referring to here. The Pharisee, he says, are not listening to understand. They simply want to argue with him in order to be right. Brené Brown, author and social worker, researcher, and public thought leader, and Episcopalian, says that her personal mantra in order to ground herself in the deep practice of listening to understand is this: I'm not here to be right, she says. I'm here to get it right. I'm not here to be right, but to learn how to get it right, to be in right relationship. And in order to get it right, we must first seek to understand. We must seek to understand the person speaking. We must seek to truly understand the problem we are facing, the new idea we are being presented with, the criticism we are being given. If when we hear someone, we are only seeking to poke holes in their argument or disprove their theory or to defend ourselves, that is us trying to be right. When we attempt to understand, we ask deeper questions. When we seek to understand, we resist formulating our response, and instead, we position ourselves in a way that encourages the other to speak more deeply their truth and their need. In the second half of our gospel today, Jesus models for us perfectly what turning from hearing to listening to understand looks like. Now, after Bible study this week, I know that this part of the gospel can be hard for us. The part of the gospel where the desperate woman seeking healing for her daughter approaches Jesus for healing, and upon hearing her, the disciples say, "Make her go away, she is just shouting at us. Make her go away, she is making us uncomfortable." To this, Jesus replies, "Oh, I am here for the lost sheep of Israel, and now even the Canaanites are seeking my help." We were reminded in Bible study that this moment was early in Jesus' ministry and that perhaps he was feeling overwhelmed by all the needs around him. Perhaps he is just coming to understand for himself the grand task before him, and that it was not limited to just the Israelites, but that in reality, his message would be for everyone, everyone, even the Canaanites. Jesus was feeling his own limitations, and he was trying to set some boundaries. He had a moment of self-protection, perhaps, or defensiveness. Perhaps here we are witnessing a moment of Jesus's humanity. Now, I know we agreed in like 325 AD that Jesus is in fact fully human and fully divine, but I think for most of us, the fully divine Jesus is easier to accept. The fully human Jesus may challenge us a bit. Some of us may want to make this gospel story fit our idea of the divine Jesus by saying that Jesus knew what he was doing, and he was simply making an example of this woman in the situation to teach the disciples about their own limitations. And that may be true. But I also think it is true that we get a chance to see Jesus in his humanity here, and that has much to offer us as fully human persons too. So Jesus attempts to silence this woman and attempts to set a boundary, and he feels that he has the capacity to handle that. But this woman, it seems, has a great capacity as well. She has the capacity to handle pushback, to lean into open conflict. Her need of healing is so great that she feels she has little to lose. So she steps out of the culturally appropriate role for a woman, and a Canaanite woman at that. She steps out of that role and she offers Jesus some straight up feedback. After being called a dog, she says, "Yes, but even a dog deserves the leftovers from the master's table." Now, Now is when we get the glimpse of the fully divine Jesus. Because rather than silence her critique, rather than turning away from her and leaving her alone in her need, Jesus, fully divine, turns toward her and listens deeply to her. And in his listening, Jesus gains understanding. And out of his understanding, he says simply, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." Jesus acknowledges that it was her faith that led her to challenge him, that led her to lean into that conflict and not back away from her only chance of healing. Faith allows us to both speak our need and to listen and seek understanding, and we have the responsibility to do both, listen and speak. Faith, the ability to believe in what is not yet seen. Listen and understand. Faith will allow us to listen deeply to the other, even when we have no way to know what is not yet able to be seen. Even when we have no guarantee of a peaceful outcome or consensus or harmony or that we will be right, faith will allow us to lean into conflict with the only goal of listening to understand. Faith. Listening to understand takes great faith, and listening to understand also takes great resiliency and courage. In order to listen to someone who is offering us critique or feedback, to listen in order to understand, we must stand on a platform of self-worth. If we are not standing on a platform of self-worth, then we will sink into shame and defensiveness when we are given difficult feedback. So what makes it possible for us to listen and understand? Faith and courage and resiliency arise from a sense of self-worth. Faith, the belief in what cannot yet be seen. Self-worth, the belief that you are worthy of love and belonging. If we believe only in what can be seen with the eyes, and if what can be seen with the eyes is what gives us our worth, then we are indeed spiritually blind. As Christians, we acknowledge our brokenness. We acknowledge our desperate need of God and of the saving mercy of Jesus. And we must come to see that God loves us so much that we are worthy of that mercy. We are worthy not because of what can be seen with the eyes, but because of what has been promised in Holy Scripture. We are worthy because we have breath and because we have hearts to feel. We are worthy because we can give and receive love. This can be a hard thing for my intellectual friends to grasp. It can be difficult for my friends of great means and wealth to grasp. Because in this culture, what we have been told makes us worthy is our ability to think and reason, our ability to accrue more stuff and bigger homes, our titles or accolades, our degrees or our memberships in private clubs, our nationalities or affiliations. But friends, all of those things are fleeting. All of those things are temporal and earthly. Our worth is neither temporal or earthly. Our worth as children of God is eternal. And by faith, we will come to believe that this is true. The most true thing about ourselves we can ever believe. And friends, my first and most important job as your priest and pastor is to remind you of this central truth. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy to be loved. You deserve belonging. You deserve belonging to this community of Christ and to the larger community of humanity. My job is to co-create with you and God your platform of self-worth so that you and I together can seek to listen and to understand. If we do this together as our primary work, we will stand on that platform together, that faithful platform of self-worth, and that is what will allow us to listen, to understand each other. This work will allow us to overcome disagreements and conflict and to put our focus on the mission of this church, the mission of Jesus Christ, which is to build the kingdom of God right here, right now. So as we get out of the boat together, Grace, let us stand with firm footing on a platform of self-worth, which is grounded in the love and mercy of God. And let us, by faith, seek to understand, seek to listen to understand, not to be right, but to try with our whole hearts to get it right. Amen.